Okay, guys. So, guys. Okay, so if you remember, last week we looked at a series of agadotot from around Shas, which discuss cases in which people daven for people to do tshuva, for themselves to do tshuva, and the like, which raises philosophical questions of how that could be mutter, how is that not problematic, how is that not a challenge to the notion of free will. And this is where sometimes, and again, this topic is in Agadata is different, because what we're going to see here, there's a separate question which we haven't dealt with, which is, can we use Agadic text to paskin halacha? Okay? Here, that's not really what's going on. Here, the Mil Tzedakah, I have it recorded, but you can record also, I don't care. But this, the Mil Tzedakah here, Rabbi Yonah Landsdorfer, there's this like combination of like halachic hashgavik, because sometimes the nexus between the two blurs the line. I don't. You can share. So the Mil Tzedakah was asked the question of this guy who went, who apostatized. What does apostatize mean?
To go out and spread the word. Yeah.
To convert, to leave the faith and convert to a different religion. No. He converted to another religion. He apostatized.
So the apostles?
He became an apostate.
So the apostles?
Those are apostles.
That's why they say in the Christian books they say 12 apostles.
Apostle, not apostate. Yes. Apostate is someone who...
That's not the same word? Oh, I suppose that was.
They're probably related. Presumably they are related.
Proselyte.
Proselyte?
Oh my God.
Yeah, isn't
that
right? Anyways, yes.
Yeah, that is a word.
So, that's a convert. So, someone apostatized out. So, the question was, and he took his son with him. Right? And he took his son with him. So, the question was, are you allowed to daven for him to do tshuva? And the shaila, as he framed it, and again, this is where the philosophy and the halacha sort of overlap, is two. One is a purely philosophical question, which is, why are you getting involved? I mean, why do you care? Right? Let God deal with it. If God wants to bring someone back, he'll bring him back. If not, like, do you have a vested interest? Do you have standing? The second...
A Ravenclaw shows up.
Okay, fine. Mm. Right, that would be a good answer. His second question is, wait a second, if people have free will, isn't davening for their free will to be suspended at some level a tefillah shav?
Yes.
Right? It's a worthless tefillah, and then mamela, it's usur. Well, that was the question we saw last week. So now let's go to his answer, okay? And for some of you, you have the English translation if you want it. I'm not going to read through it, but you have it if you need it. It's a long-ish tshuva. So he writes as follows. V'hine, we're over here. V'hine. B'tchila na'amot tzad al yana b'chira sh'nitan b'yad adam. Right? In order to answer this halachic query, we need to investigate the philosophical underpinnings of the right of the question, which is, what freedom has been given to mankind? Kizora bechira eina matana nichletet. This is not an absolute gift. Libelti hashiv bishum ofen. Shata Hashem libot bnei adam givim mashia lebert zano baruchu givim omei machshav to. Right? It's not that. It doesn't mean that God will not, under any circumstances, ever tilt, encourage, prod you in any way, shape, or form. It doesn't mean that. Sometimes you are, in fact, fully free, and sometimes God will tilt your heart. Umikra malei hu. It's a pasuk. Leiv melachim biyad Hashem. That the hearts of kings are in God's hand. Or elsewhere, al kein lo nitatir lingoa eleha. What is that? Avimelech, right?
Yes.
Because you didn't know that she was married, that Sarah was married, but I know that you meant, you didn't realize it was Ish, so I didn't let you, right? I didn't let you touch her. V'kol siper Iyov korev v'chol mizor abchira. That's all of Iyov. Hasher lifamim al yedei Zerah matel libo mashivu midarach ra'ah. Right? That sometimes through punishment he's pushed away from evil. If I'm in Belizrim, he tiad ritzono, and then you see it sometimes even without punishment, without torture, like Paro. I mean, there's all types of ways in which God plays with free will. If he does this for bad, the notion that God can prod you in the right direction, right? If you see that God can prod people, or more than prod them, away from free will to punish them, then obviously it works Latova as well. Like we see in Navi, that God promises he will remove our stone hearts. And then he says, okay, so all I've done so far is establish that this does happen. The bigger question is, okay, how? I've established that it happens. I've thrown a bunch of psukim at you and proven that God does it. But why is he allowed to do it? How does this not violate the notion of free will? And he says that this is not right, really a change in nature. And he says, and we found that there are things that affect nature, right? Whether, you know, the mazalot, whatever that means, or nature, or miracles. So he says as follows. He says, Ve'ein lehakshot. Alright, so now you'll tell me, and this comes back to our Gemara. He says, okay, right? Right, our Gemara in Avodah Zarah says that God holds the Jews responsible, Moshe holds the Jews responsible for not asking God to take away their free will. Now that's the simple pshat. Right, take away our free will and make sure that we keep the Torah forever. So that is not a problem philosophically. Because for someone to ask for themselves, for God to keep them on the straight and narrow, is no different than us davening Hashiveinu every day. Dipshita upshita, me'esha adam poseach ma'at, mesayin lo kasher balitaher. And he says, why is that mutter? Why is it okay to daven Hashiveinu?
Because you're making a choice.
Yeah, because you're making a choice. Right, he says, what's your problem?
Maybe yesterday's tefillah caused it that Hashem had you say it again.
But right, but he says right, but he says it's not a problem. Why? Because we've already established not to do that. Thank you. Because you, it's not really a problem of free will if you initiate it. Because right, the Chazal say this all the time, that God says, Psachli pischo shel machat. Right, open up for me an opening the size of a pin, a needle, and I'll open you an opening the size of a. No, an ulam is a is like a whole like a banquet hall, right? Meaning like a huge sort of artistic gate. Right? Meaning we understand that we can't do everything ourselves. God wants us to express our free will in trying, but once we do that, it's not against the notion of free will that God helps us follow that which we've already initiated, right? Once we get the momentum going, so God can help us along. So that doesn't contradict the notion of free will. So he said, our Gemara is not a problem at all. He said, because what's the notion of taking away free will? Is that you can't be punished or rewarded for a choice that's not your own. But if you start it, right, if you start the direction and you indicate that's the direction you want to go in, but you're not strong enough, and you ask God for help, then it's a manifestation of your true free will. Right? Is what I've started the path. I'm just not, right?
Rabbi, you figure that every choice you make, like down the road, is also your own, like 100% free will, just as like first choice.
Again, but that doesn't mean God can't make it easier for you, and that's not a contradiction of free will, right? That's like. Then what's it like? It's like someone saying, right, someone recognizing he has an addiction and starting to go for treatment, right? Once you go, right, you understand that, yes, he's being helped from the outside, but staying in the program is still his free will, or that's what makes it work, right? No one can force you to overcome addiction. I mean, they could, you know, bind you to a wall so you can't, right, you can't drink, right? But of your own free will, once you go and you stay in the program, right, yes, people are helping you and making it easier and facilitating what you're doing. But that's not taking away free will. That's helping you do what you want to do. Right? Meaning the guy has the free will to say, you know what, tomorrow I want to be a Rasha.
Right.
Right? But if the guy says, look, I really want to get up for Shacharis. Right? I really want to get up for Shacharis. God help me. And I set my alarm and I daven to Hashem and I go to sleep on time. right? It's not like taking away my free will that God says, okay, you know? So I'll make sure that nobody shuts the tree sim such that it feels like the middle of the night, even in the morning, right? Or whatever, right? He says, "Va'adiraba, dok minei li'idach giza, time adhava lememer tna ata." And he said, read the Gemara carefully. The Gemara says that Moshe said to the Jewish people, you know what the problem was? That you didn't say, take away my free will. I mean, you, God, and the Jews should have asked that he help them stay on the derech of the Torah. Halav hachi ein hadin lahasar yetzahar milibam. If what's Moshe saying, right? And this is a very careful read of the Agadata. Saying Moshe is saying, look, I couldn't do it for you. The problem was that you didn't ask. No one can ask for you because that would be taking away free will. Moshe is upset because the Jews didn't ask of their own accord. God, help us in such a way that we'll keep the Torah. But Moshe is not saying, I didn't do it for you. He says, V'kol zeh, heira le'moshe bar mo yibrach mi'itain v'gomer. He said, right, I mean, what, is Moshe like being evil? Right? Why did Moshe just tell them, like, it's not totally clear to read this, but why didn't Moshe daven? Right, the Havel and the Memer Tanata, the Efshar Chavit Hashem Shal Yado Shiyom Rovit Pali Yinatelem Michal Dav Lav Hachilo. Right, why didn't Moshe ask? Because it wouldn't work. That would be taking away free will. Yeah.
So, question on that. So then, I mean, he probably will get into this, but so then those Gemaras that like of people davening for.
Oh, good. I mean, he's going to deal with everyone. Right. It was amazing with this tshuva. It's an attempt what? Ramil Staka. It's Rav Yonah Landsurfer. He's an 18th century posek, but it's an interesting term. It gets quoted a lot by other Achronim because it's an attempt to organize these agadic passages in a way that it speaks to halacha, right? And it's so he starts with ours, and he says, he said the implication is that for someone else to daven might in fact be sort of like a worthless tefillah.
To daven on your behalf
that you should do tshuva. Right? Kihunira shibalon neged achokah katzuv meitoit bracha kol bidei shamayim v'alrov who came. But then he says, wait a second, omnam b'perek seder tainis. And now, I'm not going to read everything inside because we've read it. Right? We've seen these Gemaras. But he says, wait a second, what about the Gemara in Tainis, where Abba Chilkiah's wife said, don't daven for your enemies to die, daven for them to do tshuva.
Right, That was right? Last
yes.
Yeah. We did a bunch last
week. All those things are what the Miel Tzedakah brings in. This is an elaboration of the Miel Tzedakah. Right, and he says, skip down the end of the Gemara, three lines of the Gemara. He says, "Vavadai the kashal of emet bazeh, the mazu tovo shalit pal kazeh, dariv tfilat chav." He said, if you can only daven, if my first claim was right, namely that it's only not problematic daven for yourself, then why is Abba Chilkiah's wife held on a pedestal? Her tefillah was worthless, right? At least his tefillah that they should die was worthwhile. God can kill people, but if God won't take away their free will. So he says, now he goes back. So he says, I have a way of getting out of it. Because Rashi there says that they weren't evil, they were uneducated. Burim ame'aretz. So he says, L'kach perishayu burim ame'aretz, michisaron yidiyasam asu masha asu. Rashi, he claims, was bothered by this problem. Because he said, the problem wasn't they were evil, it was they were uneducated. But God, you can daven that God should give them, right, should make sure that they're provided with that education, because then they still have free will. Right? They still have free will. What's he saying? He said, so that's no different than someone who can't go to Minyan in the morning because he's sick, so you daven to God to take away his migraines. Right? If the reason someone doesn't go to shul is because he's never been exposed to Torah, right? You've never been educated. You can daven that he has exposure.
Why?
You're not saying that God should take away their free will.
No. Who's saying that God should take away their free will? Why can't you? Why can't I be davening for Zeb's path just to be easier when I?
Oh, and that's exactly what he's saying, right? He's saying, right? And in the Aved Eitan, he makes a similar argument, right? The Aved Eitan, I didn't put it on the sheets because it's impossible to actually get in a form that I can get on here. The Aved Eitan is a parish on the Ein Yaakov, right? He says, for example, well, you know, I'll come back to his because he has a different one. But you're right. Meaning, what the Miel Tzedakah is doing is saying, look, there's davening for someone to lose their free will, and then there's davening for them to get education, or as we'll see, for things to be made easier for them, right? There are many types of tefillah that seem like they are tefillah to take away free will that aren't, right? So he says, possibility one is you can daven that people be exposed to truth, be exposed to education. That gives them an opportunity, right? That doesn't mean, yeah, you're davening that God provides someone with an easier path or the opportunity to do teshuva, not that they should do it.
How could I don't understand, what would someone say where it wouldn't be that?
What?
Like, for can you give me an example of, like, let's say you daven for me, but and it would be construed as
like if daven. We just said.
Well, that's what he's saying, right? This was, remember, he's answering a shaila. Someone said, "Can we daven for this child, right, to do tshuva, right, to mamash, take away free will, make sure he comes back from apostasy, right?" So he goes through each gemara and he says, "Well, all the gemara of Abba Chilkia proves is that maybe you can daven to give people opportunities," and then he pushes a bit farther, and he says, "Evshar to ein misham raya klal." He said, "Maybe it's not a proof at all." Now, this is also an interesting point, right? Is that you always have to wonder, right? One of the problems with any text in the Gemara is that it's not always clear that the people in the Gemara did the right thing, right? So, and especially in Agadatas. So he says, who says that the wife of Abba Chilkia is right? And then in a slightly whatever moment, he says, "Ve'ein chachma isha ela bepelech," because, you know, women's wisdom, it's not in Torah. That was the word I was not saying, but yes, that was the word I had in my mind. Yes, right. He says, "Umay desal ganal idar kisa me'u taimed l'shem mekarva hanias al yada." He said, maybe the reason that she was more righteous was all the other stuff that Abba Chilkia said, right? Namely, my wife was, did a better tztaka than I did. Okay, fine. But maybe she doesn't know Torah. Okay. I mean, maybe Abba Chilkia himself was misupik. Turn to the next page.
But doesn't the Gemara praise her for it?
So that's what he's saying, but
so
maybe...
maybe the people who
so he said, maybe, Ray said, maybe Abba Chilkia was wrong. Maybe Abba Chilkia was wrong about his assessment of his wife. Okay. The next page. Right?
Yeah. Interesting.
The next one. What about the Bruria Reb Meir Gemara, where Bruria said the same thing, right? Next page. Right? Where Bruria told Reb Meir, you should daven for your enemies to do tshuva. And the Marsha asked the question, El boy rachmi alayu dilahaju bitiyufta v'yesh layin al zahareya kol bidei shamayim. Right, what the Marsha said, I don't understand. Isn't that against the notion of free will? So v'nira libi yishuvo ki vaday kasanu famim HaKadosh Baruch Hu matel levava leila izah siba she'al b'ritzono im kain gam ata yimakom letbal alayu dilahaju yikechid lo letzaharinu z'yish makom letfil asher mer she'achsu Hashem l'man lo yitzaharu t'od. So now he says, you know what? I'm okay with the notion that you'll take away free will. Why? Because in this case, was he really davening for their sake? No, he was davening because he needed a way to get these people off his back. They were annoying him. So maybe this is a paro case. Yeah, sometimes God really does take away free will. Why would he do it? Not to help people do good. It's not like you're davening for someone, take away their free will, and now they'll go to Olam Haba. That would be against Shchar Vonesh.
Right, so Paro wasn't getting...
Of course, that's what the Rambam says. The way the Rambam understands it is that he was punished, he stopped getting free will, but he wasn't punished from that moment on. So maybe, the Mil Tzedakah says, sometimes, maybe you really are davening for someone to lose free will, but it's not against Shchar Vonesh, because they won't get punished. What was the choice? Think about what was going on in the Reb Meir Gemara. The choice was, how do we stop the people from annoying Reb Meir? We kill them, or we make them good people. So he's saying, Bruria said, daven them to good people, not so they'll go to Olam Haba, but they won't. This is their Paro moment, right? So Paro, God made him evil. Bruria is saying, make them good. Right, they will still go to Gehenna because they lost their free will starting now, and until this point they were evil, and now they're just living they're living automatons. Fine, so maybe that's actually mutter, but that won't help us in our question. Why? Because nobody wants this poor child. Remember the case. That works if you're asking for God to take away someone's free will and make them good people, not for their own sake, but so they stop bothering other people. That's like saying, look, God, either kill Hitler right? Or make him do tshuva. I don't care whether he goes to hell or not. I just don't want him to continue doing evil things.
Right.
So the Milz Taka said, that's fine. I get that.
Yeah.
Because you can have paro l'tova, you can have paro l'ra, right? You can have paro stop having his free will and now he'll only do evil things. But theoretically, God could have said, look, I'm tired of paro. I'll take away his free will. I'll make him a grace at tzaddik. He'll send the Jews out. But he'll get no reward for it. And the reason I'm making him a tzaddik is that he'll become a cog in the machinery of getting the Jews out of Mitzrayim. That's not against free will. Right? That's the Rambam.
Isn't there a shita that says how he did have free will in the beginning?
Yeah, that's the Rambam, that he had free will and then he loses it. Other people think he had free will the whole time. But I'm saying he's following a very Rambam approach here, that sometimes in a Hanami people lose free will. But that doesn't answer his bigger question. Because so far, if you think about the philosophical question he's dealing with, it's actually quite sharp. He's saying, look, I want to know, can you take away someone's free will such that they will get reward for their future actions? So he says, first of all, for yourself, you can definitely daven that God make things easier. That's not taking away free will. You can daven that God should provide opportunities to other people, because that's not taking away free will. If they choose to use those opportunities, so they're utilizing free will, they'll get rewarded. You might even be able to daven for someone to lose free will and become a good person as an automaton, but now from now on not be rewarded.
But that's only... it's only
because now you're turning them from a subject into an object.
It's helping someone else, right?
Correct. Because now you're just saying, look, either kill them or make them act nice to me. Right? I don't care, but they can go to Gehenna for all I care. I just don't want them to annoy me anymore. But the question he wants to know is much harder. Is this poor kid was taken by his father and converted to Christianity, and I don't just want the kid to be Jewish stam. I want the kid to have a real spiritual opportunity. And at some level, that might require tremendous intervention into his free will, but it's not enough. They don't just want this guy to go to Gehenna, but be a, on the outside, a functioning member of Jewish society. They want him to be an Ovid Hashem.
Couldn't it be argued that he doesn't have free will to choose the right path in the situation he's in? So all God's doing is really giving him free will by...
Good, and that's what you could have...
to put him in a situation where he has a choice.
Yes, right, you could have made that argument, right? And you can, right? You could say, well, maybe this case is different. We'll see what he does. Now, you could also have different levels of free will. I'll mention it now. The Avadei Tan, for example, says, look, there's Yirat HaOnesh,
and there's Yirat... The Onesh in the first place is Potter, because...
Correct. So you're asking him to reverse the Tinoch Shanishba status. Correct.
Isn't
that's sort of what they're doing.
Before, like the barbarians in the case, not of every marriage, the other one, where they said that they just didn't know any better. So,
so that right, exactly. He's saying maybe
why wasn't that comparable? To
well, he's going to get to it. Remember, this is all heading to, you know, heading towards his answer.
Okay.
Wait, he said,
"What did the
Well, now he left. So when he comes back, you know, I'll do it. Right. So he says, "L'chein v'tchila amra." And he said, be very careful. Maybe the only thing that Bria said to Davin for was that they do tshuva on this crime. They don't. He doesn't care whether they're good people in general. It's take away their free will on this one issue. Because they're annoying me. Right? That's all it means.
You guys must have been really annoying.
What?
So these guys must have been really annoying. Like, enough to, like, they want
right,
to...
And then he says, and he said that, right, so this is his next part of the answer. He says, maybe asking God to take away free will in one area is not so problematic, because, okay, so you won't get reward from now on. Right? I mean, he backs off, right? He said, look, yes, I could justify davening for someone to lose all their free will, and now, from now on, not get rewarded. But that's very hard, because what's the point of somebody living for 25 more years without Schar V'Onesh? So he mitigates and says, you're right, I'm not ready to do that.
What do you mean?
I mean, what's the point? Right? What's the point?
Why like, are they living?
Like, yeah, why are they living? Right? If they're just not...
way to enjoy life.
But he's saying, theologically, what's the point?
They're just...
So he says, no. So that's why he backs off and he says, maybe all Remeir was doing was davening, they should do tshuva on this one sin. Right? To that's like saying, okay, I'll take away part of your free will. That's fine. And he proves it from that other weird agadata that Chachamim Davin, that the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah be killed. Right. Oh, how could they do that? Why didn't they, God, the Chachamim want us to be challenged with the Avodah Zarah Yetzer Hara? Because you have another 612 mitzvahs to deal with. So you won't be, you know, so you won't get reward for the fact that you don't worship foreign gods. Big deal. Right? The alternative is worse.
So you're telling me that if I go out and do idol worship, I don't get punished?
I didn't say that. You just have no desire for it.
Therefore,
so
I don't
if,
have
if you're not doing it,
no. If you do it without a yitzhar for it, kal vachomer, you are evil, right? You're doing it lahakis. But he's saying, okay, so we don't get active reward for not worshiping idols.
Active reward, then you shouldn't get active punishment.
What?
No, that is not. That is not. No,
that's not how it works.
What do you mean? You don't get...
So I don't get reward for not doing it, but I get punished.
I'm sorry, does the government reward you for not murdering someone? No, but if you do murder someone, you will be punished.
Yeah, correct.
Well, you don't always... It's not like they pay you out every day. It's like, oh, you didn't murder today. Here's a $50 tax break. Like,
right. Yeah, some things are scar, some things have owned. I'm sure there are things that are
scar. Rabbi, among other mitzvot, we know that...
One second.
It's not that you don't get any scar at all for not worshiping the Lord. But the scar is in proportion with...
Yeah, I mean, it's not none. It's minimal because you're not really challenged.
And then the amount of... So the amount of...
Obviously, if you're actually challenged by it, fine. And then you withhold. Okay.
It's the kind of thing, it's like not sleeping with your friend's wife.
So you can't get anything.
You have to be pretty crazy to sleep with your friend's wife. Right? So the amount of scar you might get depends on the situation, right? Meaning how much of a test it is for you, right? Not to do it. So if it's a minimal test, right, then you're not going to get so much scar. But if you go ahead and do it anyway, even though it's a minimal test, you're going to get a really bad owner because what you did was still really bad, right? And you had to really be crazy to do that, you know?
You made a choice to do it.
Yeah.
Whereas if you just do it terribly, then you just kind of give it in.
Yeah. Okay. Let's skip to the next page.
We're walking
to six.
Like walking to pizza and shooting everybody. I don't think you get a lot of scar from not doing it. You do it, you get a big gun, right?
Yeah, no,
Now he says, okay. He says, V'hein emes yadanu masher kozev ha'rizal. V'seir ver kavanos v'shara yichudim. Sh'tziv l'chol chamechad. Sh'yotze b'no mididos l'ashuv v'tshuva. Sh'chaven b'birchas ha'shiven v'yomer yiratzen sh'tachzor chatira v'tegaba v'tshuva. B'onei b'neichi yiminecha, etc. So the Arizal does have a discussion of someone whose son went off the derech that he was supposed to daven from the new tshuva. Nira li kiyadish b'no chazar v'to'al arishon v'lohaya ki imsios tshilas aviv alav loshan fil mashman ken shiachter l'kabel. Said that might have been a different case. That might have been a case where the guy was already starting to do tshuva and he was davening that his tshuva should be accepted. And he says the Arizal himself seems to have had a problem with davening for Bill Tshuva because on the Brach of Alat Tzadikim he says, "Amash mispalim v'tein chalkeni imam ve'ilamar shetfila shetfila shazru Hashem la'odaso zeyeshar ki adam baal bechira." The Arizal didn't even want to accept that the interpretation of Alat Tzadikim of v'tein chalkenu, put our portion among Tzadikim, is actually a tefila for that because that is against free will. And the Miltzaka said, I don't understand the Arizal's problem. Why is that different from Ashivenu? Tmili, Lama Lokasha Lekas al Brichas Ashivenu, Emes Gamgen, Kosha Klal. Kamosh goes to Marsha Brachos, Shual Derech, Abalitar Messiah Lo. And he said, this all comes back to what the Marsha says, which is, there's no problem to ask God that you should do tshuva. Because again, that's your petach, that's your attempt. So now if you skip down to where the font changes, right, then he introduces something. Remember that he had two problems. One was the theological, and the other one was the legal, was the standing issue. Right? Is why do you bother davening for somebody else? So he says, on the standing issue, maybe a father can daven for his child, because a father has standing for his child. Right? That doesn't solve the theological problem. But the standing issue, which he hasn't dealt with yet, right, is a father can dematzinu brav mizaka abba, because a father gets some reward for what his son does. Because if his son follows his path,
didn't we say in this case that the kid got led?
Yeah, no, but he's just commenting on the Arizal's case. Yeah. We're going to come back to it. Vim kain einlan etzader gad kalzen. He said, and it's personal pain for you to watch your child go off the derech. Therefore, on the standing issue, I can solve that if you have a vested interest. And especially a parent where they're somewhat responsible for what their children do. But now he says, let's come to our case. Right? like you point out. Said the big problem here is we're dealing with a child, someone else's child, who basically seems to have no free will now to do what he did. Right? We treat him like a Tinoch Shenishba because he's now brought up Christian.
Literally.
Yeah, literally. Literally. He was captured by his father and taken. Rashayin lisbal gam kena love. So now he totally takes an about face and he says, you know what? Before I said, why do you have standing? He said, it's not true. I think everyone has standing for a guy like this because we care about God's glory. Right? And God doesn't want random Jews kidnapped and raised as Christians. We can say that with some confidence. Right? We're not like big fans of Agardo Martera. Okay? You're all like, who is Agardo Martera? Right? That's one of the most famous historical cases. It was the first case in which world Jewry joined together and pooled their political resources. It was a Jewish child who was secretly baptized by his maid, and once secretly baptized from the vantage point of the church, he's Catholic, and therefore he was taken by the church, protected from his Jewish family, and the Jewish community around the world fought for the governments of various countries to pressure the Pope about 150 years ago, 200 years ago. I forget the exact year. It was made into a book, and it's supposed to be made into a movie, but it was supposed to be made into a movie by Harvey Weinstein. That plan fell through for whatever. What?
For some reason.
Yeah. Yeah, and then and Spielberg also took it up, but he apparently has not found an actor he likes, so he's shelved it for now because whatever. But it's a fascinating book, the kidnapping of Agardo Martera. But he ended up becoming a cardinal, like he ended up eventually recognizing his Jewish family and deciding that to stay with the church because the Pope was his adopted father, and he became a very high-ranking official within the church. Right? We don't like that. That's like a right. That's a very painful case. He said, look, the standing issue for a child who's kidnapped. Said, first of all, we care about God. Second of all, as a community, we're responsible for people who have no outlet, right? Who have no choice. The standing issue is easily solved. And he said, if the father isn't yeshuva, the kid isn't either. So maybe we can even daven for the father, even though we really shouldn't daven for an adult, so that the kid can do tshuva. The F Sharkiesh Lazatina Pezach Tikvacheres, he's Magam Vilosa Pezach Velosa, said maybe if we could avoid it, we should daven for something else.
It was davening for the father as the kid's like davening for Hitler.
Or something like that, or davening for the, I mean, for
the sake of the kid, really.
Right, meaning I don't care about his free will. Right? He says if there was a different way, that was my example before, I don't know what your look is, right? We could have davened it, right? He's saying, right? Yeah. And then he goes on, and he has a diuk in several different chila that maybe we should get them to have to do a little bit of hero tshuva. Let me go on. Let's see. But he said, alternatively, maybe what it means is that God should count their tshuva for more than it is. Meaning, if they have hirurei tshuva, right, but not full tshuva, maybe we can daven to God and say, look, I'm not telling you to take away his free will, but I'm saying if he does any sort of tshuva, count it. Right, which is also not really taking free will. Yeah, that's a bit more problematic theologically. So this is the end of his tshuva. You can read the rest if you want inside. But what does he end up coming out with? Right? Bikaron. So he ends up saying that he has two issues. One is the standing issue. In the end of the day, the standing issue, he says, you know what? We do have standing. Especially with a child who had no choice in the matter.
Right.
What about the theological issue? So he says he has no problem davening that people should do for daven for themselves. He has no problem that God should make things easier. He doesn't even have a problem that you should take away someone's free will to solve a local problem. None of that contradicts Karbonish. The one problem that you really do have is davening for someone to do a legitimate tshuva and get rewarded for it. Right? And that...
If they're not a tshuva.
So there, Antinok Shenishba, ironically, he's sort of willing to go that direction. Now, I don't know if that's because he in general says, you know what, maybe really you are allowed to daven for someone to do real tshuva, or he's saying, look, the guy's tshuva has been taken away, so he doesn't weigh in on whether the guy in Shamayim will get reward. But if they're going to be a Tinok Shenishba and be an Oved Avodah Zarah, or be have their free will sort of taken away and be a Jew, right? What's better communally? What's better, right?
We have to ask him a theological
question. He doesn't really answer that theological question.
Right, well, I'm just
right?
Saying,
yeah.
But sort of behind the question is sort of a basic question, which is that, is there a point of Avodat Hashem if it's not...
Right, and that's
the purpose of Avodat Hashem.
Correct, and that's even a deeper question. His assumption, for the most part, in the tshuva seems to be no. Right, and that's why he really tries to avoid. Well, that's what he seems to imply, right? Under most circumstances, but the Tinok Shenishba, he gets a little bit murky because he doesn't tell you whether the guy's going to get reward or not, right? He just says that he's a Tinok Shenishba, you can daven for him. Now, if you look in some other Achronim, they give different variations. So there's a Tshuva Ramosha on this. Many of them say, look, you're allowed to daven for someone. Again, who said you're davening for him to take away his free will? Right, that's not what you're doing.
You're
right,
you're
davening, and the Miltzak already got into this. Maybe what you're doing is you're davening for him to have the opportunity to do tshuva, or to be. If you daven for someone to be brought back from apostasy, you're not taking away their free will. Right, he's now going to have the normal challenges of any other Jew. You're just saying, don't let him live as a Christian. Right?
This is actually a fascinating question in terms of like halacha lamaisa, because like growing up, like you always hear like. Oh, someone has like a kid who's like struggling like, Jewishly or off the derech or whatever, and like all
daven.
The rabbis, everybody says daven for the kid.
Correct.
Daven, right? Right. So I just took it for granted that like yeah, just daven that he should make the right decision. But like one second, it's his free will. What does your tefillah have to do with it?
Right, and that's what he's struggling with. And again, Rav Moshe, if I remember, goes in the direction of saying, look, and this is something Miltzak brought up. Maybe these tefillot, right, to deal with all the theological issues, are not that they should mamish be forced.
Yeah.
It's that. Make it easier for them. Give them opportunities. Right? It's not that you're davening they should lose their free will. You're davening that, I don't know, they accidentally walk in on an Aish Discovery seminar and hope it's, I don't know, right? Hope it inspires them. I don't know. Right?
You're davening.
Now, going to Charlie's question. Charlie. The Aved Eitan, right, raises the possibility that part of the solution might also be that we recognize that there are different levels to Avodas Hashem. Right? There's tshuva, there's Yiras Ha'onesh, and there's Yiras HaRomimus. He says, look, maybe it's contradictory to free will to say to God, take this guy from being a Rasha to being the biggest tzaddik in the world. Right? But maybe it's not contradictory to say, look, God instills some base level Yiras Chet in him, and now his challenge in life will be to go from base level Yiras Chet to true Avas Hashem, to Yiras HaRomimus, to the higher levels of Avoda, right? God is not going to make you a, right, awe, reverence, rather than fear, right? He said, look, maybybe it's not taking away someone's free will to daven to God. Look, get him on the right path at the lowest level. And then, right, he can decide whether he goes to the higher levels. But again, what are all these Achronim coming at? They're looking at two fundamental problems. They're doing two data points, right? One is that there are all these Gemara that imply that you can at some level daven for your free will to be taken away for people to do tshuva. On the other hand, they have this free will problem. And they're trying to figure out, both from a hashkafic perspective and a halachic perspective, how do you square these agadatas with what we know, or our tefillot for that matter, with what we know about free will. And what you see, and again, the reason I gave you this example, I think it's a good example on agadata, where there's this overlap between, halacha is the wrong word, between practice, right, between what we do, and the hashkafa, and how we sometimes don't even realize the implications, the theological implications of things we take for granted, and the agadatas themselves seem to take those assumptions. But you have to, if you want to have a holistic perspective, you have to put them in conversation and say, does this work? Now, lemaisa, yes, everyone says you can daven for people to do tshuva. accept. What exactly that means, right? No one's willing to really say, under most circumstances, that we condone for people's free will to be taken away. And they want you to understand that when you're davening, even so maybe for yourself you can, right? Because then the very act of tshuva is your act of free will. But for other people, the most the poskim under most circumstances are willing to do is daven they have the opportunity. Daven that they get education. Daven that it becomes easier. Or maybe even if they have any time, daven that they get a low level of Avodas Hashem. They're mildly put on the right path. But if they want to actually become true of the Hashem, that's up to them. Right? But we don't even think about this when we daven because we take it for granted. But looking through the Haggadah and trying to make sense of all the Haggadah together is what forces us to have a more nuanced perspective on how we understand the notion of free will and how we understand our tefillah. Okay, so I thought that was an important Haggadah to go through, a series of Haggadah because of its relevance in our life and because it's the type of thing where analyzing Haggadah carefully can have real implications of the way we think and the way we act. Right, the same way halacha does. And as you see in the Mil Tzedakah, sometimes there's this overflow from hashkafa into halacha, right? Indirectly, right? In the sense that, right, tefillah shav, or...
What do you mean by that?
Right, meaning this is not like a... Right, this is not... Here, the relevance in halacha is sort of accidental. It's, there's an issur of tefillah shav, there's a theological problem here, right? And if you misunderstand the theological problem, your tefillah will be worthless, and memela will be problematic because of a halacha category of tefillah shav. It's not at first glance a theological issue, right? But halacha and hashkava sometimes overlap, okay? So I think that I wanted to give you, again, even if you know you see there are multiple answers, what you see is that agarata, no less than halacha, provides opportunity for even for poskim to struggle with how we're miyashiv things and how we incorporate complex, nuanced positions of philosophy into our normal practice. We'll continue with a different agarata.